Too often, our default answer tends to be no. We are too easily a critic. We're eager to point out how to do things differently, or better, or more efficiently. We act just like the Pharisees in Matthew's gospel. Instead of seeing hungry men, the Pharisees see trespassers and rule breakers. They saw what was in front of them, and they were correct. These men were trespassing, and they were breaking the rules. Jesus takes a moment and tries to teach them to see a bigger picture, see beyond the black and white of rules. Though Jesus makes some excellent points, his most important lesson in this exchange is a little cryptic. I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. What does that mean? When people are caught up enforcing rules, speaking to them in allegories or metaphors or puzzles doesn't really clarify things. What Jesus said was, I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. But perhaps what he meant was the temple is not a place as much as it is how we treat each other. When we are kind, we create shelter and community for each other. We do this by saying, you are welcome. There is plenty of trouble in this world. Much of it comes down to division. We're divided many ways. We're divided left and right, have and have not, black and white, rich and poor, educated and not, insured and not. We have homes or we are refugees. We feel safe and or not. We feel hungry or not. Our lives either look like the promise of the resurrection or the darkness of Good Friday. In March, I traveled with Marquette University's Lutheran campus ministry to Nicaragua on an accompaniment mission trip. We were privileged to eat at and stay in the homes of locals who welcomed us, who had nearly nothing, but shared whatever it was that they did have. If you're as old as me, you would remember unrest and rebellions and bloody fighting in Nicaragua. Maybe you think of it as unstable or unsafe, because that's all we know. Nicaragua is plenty poor, but it is working hard to be independent and to have a new story and a new identity emerge. We learned a lot about Nica and the people and the history and the land while we were there. I'd like to share two quick stories, one about unity and one about grace. Nicaraguan people live either in the cities low on the coast or in the mountains out of reach. The city people don't really know the mountain people, and the mountain people don't come down to the city. In 1980, after an uprising that overthrew a corrupt dictatorship, the new government realized they needed the support of everyone, even those in the distant mountains. So an enormous grassroots outreach was organized. The government invited anyone who knew how to read and was willing to teach others to gather in the plaza on a specific date in downtown Managua. Over 60,000 people showed up. Many of them were teens in high school. The government gave quick training and supplies and then sent them out to the hill country to go door to door and teach others to read in a one-on-one initiative. The participants left the city on motorbikes and bicycles, on horseback and on foot, and traveled out to the campo. In 5 months, this group created permanent and profound change. The literacy rate moved from 45% before the program began in March to 85% when it was completed in August. Faced with enormous obstacles, not many resources, and an unstable new government, Nicaragua decided to unite and to work to create access to education so everyone could have a fair chance in the new Nicaragua. They created their own unity rather than dividing the haves and have-nots. They traveled hard roads on foot to spread the word. When an unannounced guest knocked on the door and asked, "Are you interested in the reading program that's happening across the country?" he was welcomed and fed and sheltered before moving on to the next house or the next village. He didn't ask, "Do you want me to teach you to read?" because that would speak to the division between people. Rather, he said, "Would you like to be part of this?" And he found himself welcomed, because that's what the mountain people do for their neighbors. And this visitor seemed neighborly. He was, after all, Nicaraguan. The literacy outreach built a binding sense of nationalism, uniting the rural and urban communities who up until then had been very, very separate. The campaign won a UNESCO award, but that's not why it was done. It was done to bridge the gap between the educated and those without. If the idea of going from village to village teaching strangers sounds familiar, it should. To me, it sounds like how Jesus taught. His teachings were invitations, to be sure, but they were also commands. Love your neighbor. forgive each other, care for the poor and the marginalized, live a simple life, put the needs of others before your own. Those are the rules, and through them we can build community and unity. My other story is about grace, but first let's look again at Jesus and his followers and the Pharisees telling them they were wrong, because there is some grace at work here. How hungry did they have to be to eat grain right off the stalk? Jesus could have argued with the Pharisees who were judging their behavior, but he didn't. He just quietly taught. When we were in Nicaragua, we were told that our host families would give us their best bed, the freshest food, the sun-warmed water for bathing, and maybe they would even slaughter a chicken or a pig for us. Though they had almost nothing, they would provide their best for us. We were quietly taught about being made to feel welcome. One very hot day, we stopped for lunch at a restaurant. A restaurant in the campo is really a table set in somebody's yard, and it has a grass roof over it. You sit there, and the people in the house bring you whatever food that they cooked, and you pay them. There's no menu. It's just whatever they cooked that day. So we ate, and it was delicious. There was beet and cucumber salad, beans and rice, chicken, cheese, sweet tea, and fresh juice. Afterward, we were so full, and we didn't have anywhere to be for about an hour. Some of us sat back in our chairs dozing. Some put the heads down on the table to rest. A few played cards. Some read. It was very quiet and still. Then silently, two boys emerged from the house. They were probably about 8 and 6 years old. Each carried a mattress on their head. They saw that they were tired, and they were bringing us their beds. They brought us their own beds out to the dirt yard so we could stretch out and nap. Of course, if somebody brings you a mattress, you really do need to nap like a champion, so we did. We stretched out on these mats, two or three to a mattress, and we napped. There was no saying, oh, no, really, you don't have to do that. Instead, we just said, oh, my goodness, gracias. They quietly, without saying a word, welcomed us so completely. They fed us when we were hungry. They gave us drink when we were thirsty. And when we were tired, they gave us to rest. Being gracious takes work. It's not comfortable for us, but here's what graciousness leads to. It leads to living in grace and with grace. It means that when you are in need and someone offers you comfort, whether it's a listening ear or a good meal or a ride when your car is broken down or a smile in a storm or a warm bed and a roof over your head, you accept. You grasp the hand that is extended toward you and you let them guide you to safety and care. In return, when you are able, you reach your hand out to someone in need. You provide the meal, the place to sleep, the hot coffee, the time to listen. When we accept the hand offered to us and then reach back and help those coming behind us, we create a circle. We create a community. We host each other. And we become the body of Christ. We need to remember that the essence of the word hospitality, hospes, is that guest and host are identical. If not in that moment, in some moment. Whatever our current role is, it's temporary. Time and seasons pass, and eventually the host goes traveling and becomes the guest. The guest returns home and becomes a host. The non-distinction between guest and host is what hospitality should be. Wherever we create welcome, build community, promote unity, we become a shelter to each other. We are the temple, and we act as Jesus taught. We live as a body of Christ. Our dialogue is a little bit backwards. The guest says thank you, and the host says you're welcome. We should actually reverse this. We don't need to wait to hear the gratitude. Our default should be, you are welcome, as greeting. Welcome first, and the gratitude will follow, and it will be filled with grace. Thank you for making me feel welcome. Vaya con Dios.